Right, we want to continue with, this is the last lesson in our seven deadly sins. Tonight we want to talk about the deadly sin of sloth. When you think of sloth, are you thinking of that little animal? Listen, God's ministry, folks, is never to be done slothfully. Okay? Never to be done slothfully by his people. If you'll turn in your Bibles, we want to read from Proverbs chapter 6. This is taken from Brother David Reynolds. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Go to the ant. That's the little insects. Okay. Thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of that sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one of the that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I used to tease some of the young people that like to sleep in all the time. You sluggard, get up. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so that he had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord saith unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He which received that 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, listen to this, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gatherest where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think God wants us to be about his business? Amen? A man by the name of James Hewitt said a class of high school sophomores had been assigned a term paper. Now the day of reckoning had come and the papers were due. The teacher knew that a particular student named Gene had not been working steadily on his paper as others had in the class, and he was prepared for some sort of an excuse. We all have excuses, don't we? When the teacher went to collect the papers, Gene said, my dog ate it. The teacher, who had heard them all the excuses, gave Gene a hard stare of unbelief. But Gene insisted and persisted. It's true. I had to force him, but he ate it. Slothfulness, folks, is the sin of laziness. A lazy person is often called a sluggard, especially in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. But sluggards are slothful people. A sloth is the last in the list of the seven deadly sins. You see, sluggards are found in both the physical and spiritual realms. For sloth is the avoidance of physical or spiritual work. The opposite of slothful sluggard would be a conscientious, diligent, energetic, industrious, persevering, through, tireless, vigorous worker. But although sluggards are slothful when it comes to physical work, today we're going to concentrate on overcoming sloth in the ministry of the church. And as we are His hands and our the feet of the Lord, amen, we are the body of Christ on earth now. So we are His hands and His feet toward bringing about His kingdom, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Amen? An article in the Changing Face of Evangelism in America by James Long in March, in April issue of the Outreach magazine. The article confirmed that the church has a wide open missions field in our own nation, but that we are often missing, folks, the opportunity to be the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus in reaching our lost families, reaching our friends, reaching our neighbors, our co-workers. Here are just a few of the situations we are facing in our ministry today. While 90 to 95% of Americans believe in God, only 17.5% are worshiping on a regular basis in a local congregation. Astounding. In response to this, James Long concludes that we are losing ground, losing credibility, losing the battle. 86% of Americans believe that they can have a good relationship with God without being involved in church, and 78% think Christianity today is more about organized religion than about loving God and loving people. Think about that. Folks, it's a relationship with God. There's anybody here that is married would not show up at home and be with your spouse. You wouldn't be married long. Come on. We have to have a daily relationship with God and understand this. And it amazes me sometimes how so many people think they can have a relationship with God and not be a part of the church. They don't think it's important. Well, I want you to understand something. When you read the Word of God, He created the church. So you're trying to tell me you don't need the church, but it's something that God created for us to be saved. Because it's not going to happen. The world's not going to get saved without the church. It's just not going to happen. One of the things God has always done, God has always had a man to do His will. Amen? And therefore, God worked through His people, through other people. You know, you ever heard somebody, when you have prayer requests, pray the whole world is saved? Well, that it's not going to happen. Amen? It's not going to happen. If it's going to happen, it's going to be through you and me. Amen? That's how it's going to happen. If it is to be, it's up to me. I heard that message one time. You see, the text that we read today provides a picture of how Jesus wants to use each of us as dynamic, industrious, energetic, tireless, Spirit-filled ministers. For what? To love people and to bring them to faith in Christ. Listen, folks, Jesus came and taught 12 men how He wanted the church to operate. Now, if we want to look at people and look at their statement about, I don't need the church, I can have a relationship with God. But if that's the case, then why did God need His disciples? Jesus told people, greater things than these shall ye do. He's talking about the things He did. He wants to use us to reach our world. And we all, every one of us here tonight, have a mission field. The neighbors around you, the people you work with, the family members that you know and you visit on a regular basis, that's your mission field. Amen? You see, the ant in Proverbs is a prime example for us to follow in our work of loving God and loving people. and reaching out to that 82.5% of Americans who are not in God's house today. A man by the name of Barnaby Spivey in Leadership Magazine tells us this incident. Going down some old cement steps, he said, I noticed an ant carrying a leaf on its back. The leaf was many times bigger than the ant. Then the ant came to a big crack in the cement and couldn't cross. The ant stopped a moment, and he said, I wondered if the ant would turn back and proceed into the crack without the leaf. But instead, the ant put the leaf across the crack and then crossed the crack by walking across the leaf. On the other side, the ant picked up the leaf and continued on its journey. You see, folks, Proverbs 6, that in the New York, in the New King James Version says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. In other words, you say, well, it's hard. Figure out a way to do it. Amen? There's always a way that it can be done. And the Bible says all things through Christ are possible. Amen? It's all possible through him. Amen? And the things that we ask God to help us with to do, he said, greater than these shall ye do. Amen? So the ant is an industrious creature, but complementary, but the contemporary, I'm sorry, disciples in the church are often sluggards. A lot of times, folks, we always are looking for excuses why we can't do things. And we must learn the valuable lesson from the ant. The ant provides supplies in the summer. The ant gathers food in the harvest time. God's fields, the Bible says, are white unto the harvest. But we are not getting his job done. You see, as the ant used its leaf to bridge the crack in the cement, we need to be building bridges to our family. We need to be building bridges to our friends. We need to be building bridges to our neighbors, modeling to them, amen, Christ. Too often we got these attitudes. Well, I don't care. I don't like my neighbors. I don't get along with my family. I don't do this. You better build some bridges. And you better get to that place where you can. Because you do not want to stand there on judgment day and have them say, why didn't you love me? We have to model Jesus Christ to them. Jesus went out of his way to be friends and to fellowship with people. So we have to have, we need to model to them Jesus Christ, have that Christian conversation with them, love them, and bring them to Jesus Christ. But instead, many in the church world today are spiritually asleep. They are blind to the hurts. They are blind to the pains. They are blind to the needs of people all around them. You see, folks, the Holy Ghost in us calls us to Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You see, the Lord here confronts us. When will you rise from your sleep? Unless we arise from our sleep, folks, poverty, the Bible says, will come upon us like a prowler. You see, many churches are struggling. And many churches are even shutting the doors of their churches permanently. While people we love and we know on a daily basis are lost and dying without Jesus. And they, folks, they are entering eternity, or they will enter in eternity without Jesus Christ if we do not reach them. See, they will enter into eternity lost, while at the time Jesus cries out to us, church, do you really care? Do you really care? We could sit here and talk a big talk all day long, folks. But actions speak louder than words. Do you really care? What are you doing? When's the last time you had a Bible study with somebody? When's the last time you even invited somebody to church? And it's not all about, folks. I'm telling you, there's more to reaching the lost than say, why don't you come to my church with me? Jesus got to know Zacchaeus. He went to his house. He visited with them. He fellowshiped. That's one reason why we do small groups. How many of you are inviting people to your small groups? How many of you are taking ownership of your small group? You got friends that you know a lot of friends because you have similar interests and things of that nature. Are you inviting them to those things? Jesus saying, church, do you really care? The Bible warns us many times, as it does in Jeremiah 48:10, cursed, listen to this, hear me tonight, folks, listen. Cursed are those who refuse to do the Lord's work. Cursed are those who refuse to do the Lord. Now, I know many people think that that's the pastor's job and that's the leadership's job. Baloney. You got the same Holy Ghost I got. He gave that to you for a reason. And that is for you. One, that gets you through the door. Then you have to live for God daily. Okay? You have to live for Him daily. But He saved you not to warm a pew. He saved you to do a work. Jeremiah 48:10, you need to keep that. Cursed are those who refuse to do the Lord's work. You see, let me tell you, you can come up with all kinds of excuses. You could say, well, when I get this done, I'll do this, or whatever. You could do it. But God's going to hold us accountable. God's ministry is never to be done slothfully by His people. And there are warning signs or there are symptoms which alert us that we are in danger of becoming slothful sluggards in our ministry for Jesus Christ. You see, slothful disciples emphasize laziness. They emphasize lethargy. They emphasize apathy. They emphasize disinterest. They emphasize indifference. They emphasize complacency. Spiritual sluggards often are cold-hearted. They are often passionless. They are often spiritless. They are unfeeling and unemotional. How? In their relationship with God and in their love and concern for other people, other needs other than themselves, and especially towards the unchurched loss. Such was the case with the servant who hid his talent when you read in Matthew 25. You see, in the King James Version, his master spoke to him, and he wasn't real kind to him. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. That's pretty tough. If I said that to some of you here, you'd probably go crying somewhere or be looking for another pastor. Jesus was a tough pastor. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Come on. If I said that to you, I'm looking for another church. So I'll just think it about you. No, I'm only serious. So he said, you wicked and slothful servant. Talents symbolize, folks, all of the spiritual gifts. Talents symbolize the natural aptitudes. Talents symbolize the time, resources, and the opportunities God has given to each of us. For what? To use in service and in ministry to Him and to others. That's what your talents symbolize. You see, the slothful servant did not develop his talent to use in service for the master. So many people in our churches today do the same thing and say, well, that's just not me. That's just not who I am. Or I can't do that. That's for so-and-so. You know what I always say about that? Noah was not an ark builder before he met God. So God wants you to do something. So God will give you all the tools you need to do it. What He's looking for is willingness. Come on. Think about this. If Noah would not have built the ark, well, God, that's just not me. Who do you think you are asking me to build an ark? His family would not have been saved. And you can go through the Word of God and see how many people God used them in areas they were not. When He took Moses down there, he was a shepherd. But God will give you whatever you need to save your family, to save your neighbors, to save your coworkers, to save your friends. He'll give it to you. Are you willing to do it? Do you really care? So that slothful servant did not develop his talent in the use for his master and to help many people. And it's like us today. Now we become apathetic and show little or no interest in letting God use us in ministry and in missions. Do you see what we want? What so many people want is, I'll pop in there. I'm here. Oh, bless God. Gave your time. See ya. Try having a relationship with a spouse that way. Just try it. I'll be doing counseling. But don't. I don't want to do it. I'm telling you, folks, God wants more out of you than most of us want to give. And if you were honest with yourself, you'd say, amen, Pastor. Come on. He wants a whole lot more out of you. But I work and I do this and I do that. Well, so do other people. Right? So we become lax in our own personal spiritual formation, in our growth as Christian disciples. And in the spiritual realm, all of this is part of the deadly sins of sloth. So just as the master in this parable of the talents, he gave talents to all of his servants, the Holy Spirit has given each of us spiritual gifts and natural abilities. You see, here's the thing. The one with the five talents, the one with the two, is they used what they had and they were given more. Now, you know how it is in the workplace a lot of times? I'm going to use my wife as a great example because she worked in this company and they called her a brain leech because she was like, if you show me how to do that, I'll do it. She's answering phones. She got tired of sitting there just bling, bling, bling all day long. So they teach her this and then she'd offer to do something else. Well, all the other people were, if I asked, they weren't going to give me any more money. And I'll have to do more work. So later on, when they hired my wife full time and they gave her what she wanted and they gave her time off whenever she asked for it, they said, it must be nice. She said, it is. See, she was willing to pour herself into her work, to learn. So often, see, folks, is God gives us talents and we don't want to use them. So why do you expect God to give you any more? If you use what he gives you, he'll give you more. Well, I don't have time to do that. You don't want to use your talents. So God's calling you slothful. Wicked. So, when we do not develop, when we do not multiply and use them, our talents, for his glory, we are guilty of the deadly sin of sloth. Paul exemplifies this in Ephesians 2, verse 10. He says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So they're there. Use what you got. Then in Galatians 5, Paul expounds on this theme of working in the ministry. In Galatians 5, verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. In other words, God's saying, don't tell me you love the lost. Show me you love the lost. Express your faith. As God's faithful, loving, obedient servants, we must work, folks. We must work in love and serving others by feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, offering hospitality and shelter to strangers, clothe the naked, taking care of the sick, visiting those in prison, and offering Christ to the lost. Come on. You see, for all I know, this brother could be an angel. He'd probably tell you he's not. His son may say definitely not. I don't know. But I don't know him. but I'm willing to help. See, that's how God wants us to be. Because there are sometimes the visiting angels. We don't know. Unaware. I had a man show up at my house, and to this day, I still believe he was an angel. He told me about this church. Never heard from him since. You see, we have to be there and say, God, I'll help whoever it is. I'll do whatever it is. I'll give a Bible study to this person. I'll bring them over to my house for dinner. Come on. What I have, what God has allowed me to have that I call my own, it is God's. It is God's. We must use what he has blessed us with, or we can't expect God to bless us with any more. So God has prepared this as our way of life, folks. Doing all these things, helping people, blessing people. This is our way of life, God, that God has prepared for us. And it is our calling to live this lifestyle has never been more urgent. You see, Jesus challenges us, just like he did his disciples. In John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. See, we, folks, I'm asking today, will we let the Holy Spirit work through us? Or will we be slothful servants? People who refuse to use our talents in ministry to other people. Nikki Gumbel tells us the story about John Wimber. He's the founding pastor of the Anaheim Vineyard Christian Fellowship and the Worldwide Vineyard Movement. Quite a name. John Wimber was once approached by a member of his congregation who had met somebody in great need. After the Sunday service, this man told John Wimber of his frustration in trying to get help. This man needed a place to stay, he said, and support while he gets on his feet and looks for a job. And he's complaining to the pastor there. I am really frustrated and tired of telephoning the church office, but no one could see me and they couldn't help me. And I finally ended up having to let him stay with me for the week. Do you think the church should take care of people like this, Pastor? And John Wimber thought for a moment and said, it looks like the church did. We are the church. Many people say, here, let my pastor take care of this. Go talk to my pastor. Why don't you do it? Folks, this is the kind of work Jesus calls each of us to do for his kingdom. He is counting on you. He's counting on me to take care of people like this. The 82.5% of Americans who are not in church today, most of whom claim they believe in God. Yet, see us, church, today, being more about organized, these 82.5% of the people who claim to love God, who aren't in church, they look to us, they see the church being more about organized religion than they are about loving God and loving people. Jesus calls us, folks, to make a difference in people's lives. That will count. A difference that will count for eternity. And I pray, folks, that God will grant each of us 24/7 open eyes, open ears, and outstretched hands. Amen? Why? To minister to the hurts, to minister to the pains of people that need love in their life. In surrender, in obedience, to what? To that Spirit in you. We shall overcome, if we do this, we shall overcome that deadly sin of sloth. Let's stand. Amen. I pray that this helps you today, folks. We have a work to do. And so often we're just waiting for some people to walk through the door. And there are people that walk through the door. But there are many more that would walk through the door if you would just reach out in your world, in your mission field. and show the love of Jesus Christ. Folks, it will be a shame if we stand on Judgment Day and so many people that were around us in our sphere stand there and say, why didn't you love me? Why didn't you tell me? How shameful. We need to love. Amen? We need to love and help people to understand that I have something that you need. Amen? I have something that you need. Lord, we love you today. We thank you, God, for your love and your mercy. And I pray, God, right now that you'll just speak to every heart. And God, help us not to only hear this word, help us, God, to apply this to our lives. God, I just pray you just bless each one. Give them a hunger for souls like they've never had. And help us, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray.